was your night, Brandy?
It was all right.
Did you tie your hair down?
No. I couldn't find my freaking bonnet. I left it on the bed when we left. I left it on the bed. Mm-hmm. And then when I got back, it wasn't there. Last time I found it in my... It was actually in the dryer because it had ended up in my hamper and I washed it. Because mm-hmm. it was missing and I was like, where is my shit? And then I found it in the dryer. How was my week? Let's see. Gracie had school. Oh, she didn't have class on Wednesday and so then got behind because...
How could she get behind if she didn't have class?
Because her teacher was uploading videos. Like, instead of doing the classwork with the students, now she uploads videos for them to go along with. Mm-hmm. That way, if it's going too fast, they can pause it, you know, rewind it, whatever.
Okay.
But for some reason, she couldn't get the video uploaded for, or the videos, because she had uploaded, I think, 6 videos for Monday's work or Tuesday's work, and so she couldn't get the video uploaded for one day, so she had uploaded it the morning of the next day. Mm-hmm. So she had 2 days of work to do that day. And then on Friday, she had to get her work done. Actually, we did all the work. That's what we did. We worked ahead, kind of, because on Friday was the packet return day. So I had her do her Friday's work on Thursday night, and that way... We didn't have to worry about getting Friday's work done on Friday, and we could just come and do the packet exchange. But it was just like, you know, and she's like, it's so much work. And I was like, it's not that much work. Like, you're going to complain about work when you get to college. Stop complaining right now. You're freaking 5. You're in kindergarten. It's not a lot of work.
You're about to be 6.
It's worksheets. All you do is trace and color, and that's it. You're not doing anything, like... strenuous.
Well, I told Kendall, I was like, you need to keep up with your homework. It's just going to keep increasing. You're going to keep getting more and more. Do you need to keep up?
Mm-hmm.
Stressful.
So, but other than that, it was all right. My week wasn't too stressful, I guess. I was waiting to hear back from this lady on this freaking job that I'm supposed to start, and she didn't, she hadn't contacted me. She's like, oh, contact you by midweek. And then Friday came around, I emailed her. I'm like, hey, so I'm still waiting to hear, like, you know, when can we do this? So I'm waiting for this lady, and that's about it. How was your week?
I'm managing myself, so that's new. Like, like, really seriously, like, working remotely and having to set your own schedule, accomplish your own goals, and, you know, set achievements for yourself, and it's interesting. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, I made it. I felt like it was a long week, but I made it through.
This was the second week?
Yeah, this was my second week of work.
Week 2.
Week 2 down. So, I mean, it's cool. It is what it is. The attendance thing is really driving me crazy at school. Like, they're like, oh, you have to answer a daily question. It's like, she's in the class, but if she doesn't answer the daily question, she's marked absent. I was like, that makes no sense.
That's stupid.
Like, she doesn't have all these classes on the same days. Oh, she has to go to all the classes every day and answer the daily question. I'm just like, this is stupid. She could just go answer the questions and not even attend class, and she'll be there. Like, I don't like them sending me notifications on all my, like, contact points, like, on my email, on my phone, and texting me. Like, that's too many points of contact at one time.
They send you all those?
At the same time. Absent. All the same time. I'm just like, you guys need to stop it right now. Like, please tell me why.
Because she didn't answer the question.
Right, but then...
Does the question have to be answered correctly, or does
it's just like, hey, what color is this guy? And you could say orange, and then they're like, okay, great, you're there. It's just, oh, what do you prefer, dragons or dinosaurs? You know what I'm saying? It's just a stupid question. But the thing is, all of a sudden, she's getting marked absent from another class. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And it's her PE teacher, because I don't think that she was doing what she was supposed to, because all of a sudden, she's absent on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the days... that she doesn't have PE. She's absent on Tuesday and Thursdays because she, Kendall, wasn't answering the daily question. But I don't think that woman was doing whatever she was supposed to previously because all of a sudden this is happening. I'm like, there's something wrong. Why are you marking my kid absent? Like, what the fuck?
Right.
It's dumb and it's frustrating. And then, like, to put work on top of it and it's at the end of my day, it's like at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock when they're sending these notifications. I'm fried. I've got crazy children. I'm tired. And then, like, I have to figure out what they're going to eat. And it's exhausting. Yeah. It's really exhausting. And it's in your face all the time. It's like you can't get away from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how my week was.
It's just like, ugh. It's, what do you call it? It's overkill. And then you have to freaking, like, I don't know, just worry about other stuff. Ugh. I just want my time to myself.
No such thing. No such thing. You can't be selfish or greedy anymore.
Mm-hmm. Greedy?
Yeah, greedy with your time. Stingy with your time.
Oh.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry. Remember me? The child?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in school. Hi. Feed me. Water me. Every day, Kendall, what are we doing? Oh my God, I don't know.
What does that mean? What are we
doing?
Staring
at each other.
Do your work. What are we doing? Do your work.
She didn't go anywhere this weekend because, like, last weekend, like, she's always ripping and running, like, going to her little friend's birthday parties and shit like that. So she didn't do anything this weekend. So she was like, well, what are we doing this weekend? I'm like, nothing. Nothing at all.
She always has to be doing something.
She always has to be doing something. I'm sorry, let me speak up because I am speaking really low. We have to articulate. So, yeah, man, I mean, and then you went out to a social gathering, and I'm concerned.
You're like, I got COVID.
I got COVID.
Some chick poked me in my fucking eye.
Oh, my God.
I was just like, bitch, poke my eye. Like, why? Why did you do that?
If you were wearing eyewear, that would have never happened. Protective
eyewear.
PPEs.
Some goggles.
Yep.
Go out with some goggles on.
It would never happen.
Just wear goggles every day.
You had your PPE on.
You know what I want? I want some poke. I haven't had poke in a long time. I want some poke. Maybe I'll get some poke.
Okay, get your poke.
I want some poke. Some poke. You want some pokey?
Ew, let's get into it.
Ew.
I don't like poke. It smells weird to me.
I love it. It's delicious. Mm-mm. It's delicious.
And it's delicious.
It's just too hot for ramen. Like, I'm not gonna be eating soup because it's hot as hell. I don't need any more hot food. So. In the wintertime, I'll get some ramen.
Have you made your own ramen?
Made my own ramen?
Yeah.
No. It's hot.
I don't mean like yesterday or anything. I mean like, have you ever attempted to make your own ramen?
Mm-mm.
It's cool.
They, like, you know, like Top Ramen, sure. I'll make some Top Ramen. All you gotta do is put some meat and some vegetables in it and...
Okay, so you would have made your ramen from Top Ramen. Okay.
Yeah, like, you know.
Okay.
Instead of like spaghetti noodles or whatever, like...
No, not spaghetti noodles.
Because the udon, I don't like udon noodles, are too big. But when I get ramen, I just get, because they have ramen noodles, and that's what they are, is just...
Yeah, that's what they are.
So, I usually get that, and then, but yeah, no, you could just put, you know, some stuff inside the top ramen.
Like an egg, and the green onions, and the cilantro, and the garlic.
Chop some chicken up.
Yeah.
Put some shrimps.
You could... Really jazz it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make your own sauce, too. It's easy.
I haven't tried to make sauce. I just... Norman does. He doesn't use the sauce packets. He uses, like, you know, the dried, like, garlic and onion and
dried
shit.
Spices.
Yeah, those things.
The dried spices. Yeah, no, it's... I've done it before. I feel like it's just, like, broth. Like, a broth base and soy sauce and maybe some sesame oil, maybe some chili oil.
Mm.
And voila, there you go. Ramen.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you can make it instead of paying some assholes to make them the same shit for you.
But they have the good meats.
You can buy the good meats for yourself. But they have
I don't know how meats. To prepare them like them, but I guess I could watch a video.
Yeah.
A UBTube video.
Speaking of UBTube, check out our UBTube. You can listen to episodes. We have some videos up there, and maybe I will get back on the UBTube and bring y'all some content that way. But anyway, I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this is
Book of Lies.
The podcast.
Bulp. It's Bulp, bitches.
It's Bulp, bitches. Hello. Hello to the listeners. How y'all doing out there?
Hello from the outside.
You sound like Britney Spears and Adele together. Like, I think if Britney Spears sang that song, that's exactly what it would sound like. That should sound like, oh my God. If you're a new listener, hello. Weird, right? Hello to our existing listeners. What up, y'all? How y'all doing out there? Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being you. And
thanks for being you.
Thanks for being you. Hey, connect with us on social. And you can follow us on Twitter at Book of Lies Pod, on Instagram and Facebook at Book of Lies Podcast. And you can also listen to our episodes on our website at bookoflivespodcast.com. Somebody's been listening to us on the website, so thank you so much. I was checking our analytics, and I was like, ooh, people are listening all over the place, and I love it. So thank you guys so much for listening. Brandy, what are we talking about?
So today we're going to talk about this dickwad,
ooh.
Tim Durham. He's called the Playboy of Indiana by American Greed. So, yeah, this guy did some shit. They all do some shit, but this guy did some shit.
The Playboy of Indiana.
Yeah. Tim Durham grew up in Seymour, Indiana, and he graduated from Indiana University and Indiana University Law School. After he graduated, he joined a law firm called Ice Miller, and in 1989, he married a woman by the name of Joan Servas. Joan Servas is the daughter of Bert Servas, who apparently was like an Indiana city councilman, and he was also a businessman. He owned, was a financier, apparently. He was in the business of leveraged buyouts. Tim joined the company that he... that Bert Servas owned and basically took him under his wing. And so he teaches him to do leveraged buyouts, which is buying a company that's in debt and then making it solvent and then flipping the company. And he had told him, you know, if you want to make money, if you want to be successful, you should get into equity buying and selling companies. So that's what he did. He said, you know, stop working for companies that do that and do it yourself. So that's what Tim did. In 1998, he divorced Joan, and he left the company. So he left the company, and he started buying and selling himself. He was involved in the takeover of quite a few companies, a school bus manufacturer called Carpenter.
A school bus manufacturer?
That makes school buses. You know how those buses, they have that bluebird mm-hmm. on it or whatever? That's the manufacturer.
Okay.
Another company that is made cargo trailers called Danzer Industries, and a company called United Express Line, U.S. Rubber Reclaiming, and a bus leasing company called Pyramid Coach. These are companies, that were failing, and so he bought them trying to make a profit. Well, he buys a company called Lake Forge. Lake City Forge in Michigan, and he buys it with a loan, and he ends up selling the company, and this is the very first deal that he does, and it makes him $14 million.
Well, very nice.
So he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do this.
I can do this.
And in 2001, he starts a company called Obsidian, and he takes it public.
Okay.
But he was the type of person that was, like, very ostentatious. So he, that year, had brought in a tailor to tailor all his employee suits. At Christmas time, he bought all of his employees Rolexes. He's like, you know, the perception is everything. You have to project the image of success.
Okay.
So, he manages to you know, start making money. And he manages to open a sister company called Obsidian Capital Partners, which is a company that lets wealthy investors invest their money into his deals. So now he's got, you know, now that he's making money, he has another company where if I have, you know, $1 million, I want to invest in the deal that you're about to make because you're buying this fucking broke-ass company and you're making it make money and then you're going to flip it, I want in on the action. So I'm investing my money with you now to do this. So that works. Obsidian, the first company that he started, starts investing in a range of companies. It included a plastic surgery center, a rally car builder, a car magazine, a tour bus operator company, a limousine rental company, a nightclub, a restaurant, and a cell phone billing processor.
Damn.
And he also did a deal that basically, like, put him on the map, which was he invested in a company called Brightpoint, which was a mobile device distributor. Apparently, the stock at one point at its highest before he had bought it was at the company was worth $22 million. By the time he got to it, it had tanked to basically the company was only worth $5.6 million. So he invested in the company. The company, you know,
backwards.
Over a few years went back up and was worth about, I don't even know how much it was worth, but he managed to make around $35 million on that company. So he's doing well, it appears, right?
Right.
Well, in 2002, Obsidian acquires Fair Finance Company, which is based in Akron, Ohio, and it's a creditor. So what they do is that they're basically debt collectors. They buy the debt owed to a company.
Right.
And they buy it at a discount. So let's say I'm a company, I have about $100,000 in accounts receivable. Mm-hmm. Well, you come to me as Fair Finance and you're like, okay, I'm going to pay you $90,000 cash right now for this $100,000 debt in AR. I'm giving them the debt for them to collect on. Now I don't have to worry about collecting it and I have the cash in hand.
And you only lost 10%.
Right. So they go after the individuals that owe the debt and they collect on it. And any amount that they collect over that $90,000 is all profit for them.
Right. Yay! Debt collectors.
Fuck debt collectors. So that's how they make their profit, basically, is collecting on, you know, on other companies' debts. Well, the company, in order to do that, because you have to have, you know, cash to buy the debt in the first place, right? The way they're financed is through investors. And their investors buy certificates of investment or investment certificates. They have, and these certificates of investment are a savings vehicle for the people in Ohio who live in Ohio, who are hardworking Ohio people, firefighters, farmers.
Yeah. Good old Ohioans.
Former nuns, like people, you know, people who bust their ass, basically blue collar workers who don't have a penny to their name other than their savings, you know, after they retire, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the company has a great track record, right? The company's been in business for more than 70 years, and the people of Ohio trust this company. They know they're one of the people who was interviewed. She said she knew the owner, the person who founded the company,
mm-hmm.
whose name was something Fair. I forgot, Jim Fair or something. And, you know, it basically was a company that everybody trusted because the guy, the owner of the company, the previous owner of the company was basically your average Joe. Obsidian acquires the company. None of the investors know about this. They weren't informed that there was a change of management.
Of ownership.
A change of ownership. Like, a lot of these people didn't know anything about, like, what had transpired. Like, the business transaction that, you know, basically made their money change hands. It's still in the company, but now some other person is owning it, right?
Oh, they have the keys to the castle.
Right, basically. So, Durham and his business partner, James Cochran, who is the CEO.
Jimmy Cochran?
No. Johnny Cochran.
Johnny Cochran, that's his name.
No.
Jimmy.
This person, his name is James Cochran. While they're doing that, they start a company called Durham Cochran. That's the company that acquired Fair Finance. It wasn't through Obsidian. It was through through Durham Cochran.
Okay.
I think I said it was Obsidian, but it's not Obsidian. It's Fair Cochran. Durham Cochran is the company that acquires Fair Finance.
Okay.
And they bought it through a holding company in 2002. So, what's his name? Tim Durham. There's Tim Durham and there's Jim Cochran. So,
Tims and Jims, man.
Yeah,
Tims and Jims.
So, Durham is a flashy type of guy. He did an interview. There was like a bunch of interview footage of this man. I was like, why is there so much footage of this man? He's running his mouth, but he basically tells like whoever the hell was interviewing him, at the end of the day, when I breathe my last breath, I'd like to be worth more than anyone else in the world.
Jeez Louise.
Right? And he was super flashy, and apparently in Indiana, that's not a good trait. Like, people in the Midwest that have money, they don't want you to know they have money.
It's
you
a
know,
secret.
they're very low key about their money, right?
Yeah,
they don't
yeah.
go around buying fucking boats and cars and doing all this shit that he was doing.
Right.
He bought a mansion.
Oh.
He bought a bunch of shit. So he was an attention whore. And he even invited a reporter and a documentary crew to Miami to see his new $7 million yacht.
It's a yacht.
It was a 100-foot boat that cost $5,000 to dock. $5,000 a month to dock.
Rent.
To dock.
That's dock rent.
Yeah. And it burned fucking 250 gallons of gas an hour.
Listen, when you're in that tax bracket, I guess these are just things that you just have an extra $5,000 a month to pay for docking. And if you got a yacht, you got money to put that gas in there. That just sounds just disgusting to me. $5,000 a month? I don't even think my expenses are that much. Like, fuck that.
That's ridiculous.
That's
ridiculous. That's just a boat. That's just a boat.
That's rich people problem.
$7 million boat, okay? It had glass stairs. And it was, like, decked out in fucking, like, this elaborate, like, tile and shit. The guy was an asshole. So, in the interview, he's like, yeah, I'm materialistic. I like nice things. I think it's what drives the economy. And at the time, this was the early 2000s, he was dating a former Playboy model that was Miss January in 1997. Apparently, he went around tipping everybody. So, like, if you go to restaurants, he tipped every single employee in the freaking restaurant.
Well, I wish I would have worked there.
$100 tips, $100 bills. He would tip the freaking guy that, like, untied his boat from the dock. He tipped every single person that he could tip. He was flaunting his money.
Why is he an asshole?
Because he was flaunting his money the way that an asshole does.
Okay.
Like, you don't do all that. Like, honestly, like, it's nice to tip people, but not for attention,
okay.
Which is what he was doing it for.
Okay.
Sure, you want to share your money? That's right. I remember I had a boss that just, like, gave me a $100 bill one day when I came in on a Saturday. He was like, thanks for all your hard work, and gave me a $100 bill. I was like, thanks, Joe!
I'll be back
next Saturday. He died.
Aw.
He died. He had a heart attack. He was on, I think he was on vacation with his new wife
or something. Oh, you told me this.
Yeah.
The world needs more people giving out hundies.
Yeah, he basically wanted everybody to know he had money. He built a two-story, 20-car garage for all of his fucking toys. He had a 70-car collection of classic and new cars. He had a fucking Bugatti. And he was like, oh, that's the key costs $5,000 to replace, so I got to keep an eye on the key. He had a fucking Duesenberg. You know what a Duesenberg is? The Duesenberg was the car that Daddy Warbucks was riding in.
No.
In freaking Annie from the 80s. So, these are expensive fucking cars that he had parked in his garage. And then he had, and that only fit 20 cars. So, of course, he had to put these other cars in other places. And he was bragging that, oh, you know, one of my friends is Ludacris. He calls me, he's like, hey, what car are you in today? What car are you in today? And he's like, oh, well, it's raining today, so I'm in the Bentley. And he's like, oh, Ludacris was like, that's your rainy day car? And I'm just like, why are you even talking this much about your fucking cars? They had done like a couple of magazine features about him because he was trying to present himself as a successful businessman.
Right.
So I'm a businessman. I'm making all this money, but I'm talking about my cars. Like, you're an asshole. Let's not fucking like mince words here. You're an asshole. So he also starts to do invest in his own vanity projects like restaurants. And the race, like, all those things were, like, his vanity projects. The ones that I mentioned earlier, the magazine, other shit, what was it? the limousine rental company, the nightclub, the Italian restaurant, those were his vanity projects. And the plastic surgery center, rally car build, like, he had companies that he was flipping, but these companies specifically were his, that he kept.
Okay.
And so was Fair Finance. That was a company that he kept. Okay. He wasn't flipping in that one. Because it was already a successful company.
So he's just making all these millions flipping companies, buying, like investing, sticking around, building them up, and then...
That's what he's supposed to be doing.
Cut and bait. Oh, and he's not. Oh, God. Okay. Because I'm like, damn. Why are we talking about him? What did he do?
That's what he's supposed to be doing.
Got it.
So, but he started getting into all of his vanity projects. And he even bought National Lampoon Incorporated. Because, you know, like the National Lampoon movies and mm-hmm. the National Lampoon magazine, those are a company that, I mean, they're, you know, National Lampoon is its own brand. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently it was struggling, so he bought it.
Okay. Christmas Vacation, all the Chevy Chases.
Uh-huh. He bought the company. That was one of his passion projects or whatever. In 2007, he throws himself a Playboy style. And he's still living in it. He's living in Indianapolis, Indiana right now.
Mm-hmm.
He throws himself a Playboy style fucking 45th birthday party. He flies in models from LA, has a bunch of naked women running around. Mm-hmm. It's a pajama party. So he's got on silk pajamas trying to, you know, basically emulate Hugh Hefner. Mm-hmm. He's got women on his arm. He's got, you know, people running around. It's fucking extravagant. There's booze everywhere. There's bitches with painted on bathing suits. It's a thing.
It's a shit show.
It's a thing. He had that bitch Megan Hauserman from Rock of Love. Remember her? Did you watch Rock of Love?
Oh yeah, the bad Megan.
The Megan, the one that got her own show, Megan Wants a Millionaire.
Yeah, she was like the skinny bitch.
She was awful. Bitch. She was awful. She was. They interviewed her on here too. On the show.
Sharon Osbourne was like, you should never procreate. Don't have children.
She has one. She has a little boy. But she was on I Love Money.
Mm-hmm.
She was on, Rock of Love, Charm School. Yeah, Rock of Love, Charm School. Because there was Flavor of Love, Charm School, and there was Rock of Love, Charm School.
I think it was all, they were all in school together.
Mm-mm, because Sharon Osbourne was on the Rock of Love one. And, what's her name? The lady, there was a black chick from Flavor of Love. That was their charm school from Flavor of Love one. I want to say it was Niecy Nash. It wasn't Niecy Nash.
Let me check.
Continue.
Megan Hauserman.
She was one of the models that they flew in, from LA. He's basically, his cake, his fucking birthday cake is this gigantic cake in the shape of it's a rectangle cake. On it, he's got this giant fucking paper, you know, that rice paper, $1 million bill with his face in the middle.
So, yeah, you're right. The first season was Flavor of Love. And Monique.
It was Monique. Okay.
Yeah, it was Monique.
I was like, who did I say, Niecy Nash?
You did say Niecy Nash.
It was Monique.
And then Rock of Love, like you said. Yeah, Rock's trying with Sharon Osbourne. Da, da, da. And then there's a third season with Ricky Lake.
I didn't see that.
And she had the contestants from Rock of Love bus.
Jesus.
And Real Chance of Love.
Oh.
Remember Real Chance of Love? Remember, oh, Chance died.
Yeah.
Or was it Real?
It was Real.
Real.
Yeah. He died of leukemia. Okay.
Speaking of people dying.
Chadwick Boseman. I know. That made me sad. Like, I was just like, ugh.
My heart.
Yeah.
My heart.
That hit me right in the chest. I was like, what?
Well, listen. So, Mom told me before, like, the news even broke or whatever, because, like, someone she works with is, like, best friends with the...
His mother-in-law.
Yeah. So, it's sad. And I was just like, oh, my God. But, like, cancer sucks. He's been battling it. And I don't love this, but I love that they kept it pretty tight-lipped.
Well, apparently that he was filming movies during the time, like, between chemo treatments and surgeries, he was filming movies.
Yeah.
Like, homeboy persevered through all of that shit.
Yeah, and I would look at pictures like, oh, he looks kind of thin in this one, or, like, you know, wonder what's going on there, but never thought about it, never heard, not a whiff of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just when Mom sent me that text, like, Chadwick Boseman died, I was like, excuse me? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, who? And she was like, Chadwick Boseman. I was like, Black Panther? And she was like, yeah. I was like, shut up. You lie.
Yeah, I got an alert, you know, because I get the alerts from CNN and Google News. And I was just like, oh, nuh-uh. Like, no.
It was so sad, and it's sad, and I guess him and his wife just got married, like, last year, or last, like, recently they got married, but they've been together for years, so at least they got to, like, be with each other and spend that time together, but it's sad, and he's just, like, people may not know, like, his whole catalog, but I feel like everything that he did touched people. And I think it gave, like, black nerds someone to, like, root for.
Black nerds.
You know what I'm saying?
Black Panther.
He's not the only character. Like, you know, there's obviously, you know, with Fury and, you know.
Fury.
Nick Fury.
Oh. I'm like, Fury?
And Falcon. But, like, what other black characters are there?
Superheroes.
Yeah.
Storm.
Yeah, that's my girl. But it's just, like, he had his own franchise. Like, you know what I'm saying? He had his own movie. And
yeah.
He started, he didn't start it, but it's just.
It sucks.
It sucks.
It sucks. It just fucking sucks.
It sucks so much.
Yeah.
But anyway, RIP, and, you know, the only thing that's playing in my head is, like, the Black Panther soundtrack. Do you remember that song? No?
Yeah.
Sorry.
But you always pick the most annoying parts of songs.
That's the part I love. That's the part that gets stuck in my head. Tell me.
All right. Okay. Anyway.
Sorry, guys.
Sunny wants to sing weird songs.
It's 2020. There's weird shit going on around here, man.
That's the truth. So he threw himself this fucking party. And in 2008, he moves to L.A.
No!
He moves to fucking L.A., buys a $3 million fucking house in the hills. Rents a 16,000 square foot fucking mansion for guess how much monthly the rent is.
$7,500.
$7,500. That's what you said?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. $75,000?
$25,000 a month to rent this fucking mansion.
Why is he renting a mansion when he has a house in the hills? It makes no sense.
Because he's an asshole.
Asshole.
Like, he's a fucking asshole. He keeps the fucking mansion that he bought in Indianapolis.
I don't get it. Maybe he's renting it out.
He's a douche, man. Okay, so.
Skadoosh.
He's just a fucking douche. Which was a 12,000 square foot mansion, by the way, in Indianapolis. He starts hanging out with fucking stars. So I don't even know when he did that interview between. You know, the time that he came to LA and started hanging out with Ludacris, or before, I have no idea.
So he and there's a picture of him. Like the celebrity net, celebrity.
Yeah, girl.
Circle.
He there's a picture of him with Ludacris and Gene Simmons, and his new girlfriend is a penthouse pet chick. He said he moved closer so he could be near National Lampoon, which is based in LA.
Oh yeah, because he bought National Lampoon.
He bought National Lampoon, right? So
he's an executive.
He had appointed a guy named Dan Lakin as the CEO of National Lampoon. On December 17th, 2008, Lakin steps down from the company because he's being indicted by the SEC on conspiracy to inflate the company's stock price to $5 a share in order to prevent the company from being delisted from the American Stock Exchange.
Ooh.
Because the company is failing. Well, failing.
If it's not even worth $5 a share, that's...
Exactly. Like, they're like, you're basically not even going to be public anymore. Oh. You're not going to be listed anymore if you guys don't figure some shit out. I mean, and what was the last movie they just made? But this was after 2008 that they made this movie.
Let me look that up.
Family Vacation? Not Family Vacation. I think it was just called National Lampoon's... Is it Family Vacation? With Jason Sudeikis? It's a National Lampoon movie. It's another vacation movie. He goes and he takes his kids to Wally World.
Oh, okay.
And Wally World is closed.
It's just called Vacation.
Yeah, okay. So National Lampoon's Vacation.
2015 Vacation. Oh, yeah, and Kelly Bundy.
I thought so. I wasn't sure. Christina Applegate was
his wife. Christina Applegate, okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was her. I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, and freaking Chevy Chase was in it, too.
Yeah, he's his dad. He's still... He's all grown up.
Oh, he's Rust. He's Rusty.
Yeah, he's all grown up.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Yeah.
Like I did watch him because what's his name's in it? The Helmsworth. Chris Helmsworth's in it.
Chris Hemsworth.
And he's just like hot. And
yeah.
Dumb.
Mm-hmm.
He plays that very well.
So does Liam.
I'll...
Okay. So, yeah, Lakin is being fucking, he's being indicted by the SEC because he was trying to inflate the Lampoon stock. And he's like, oh, well, shit, I got something to tell you. Oh, like, shit. Can I get a reduced sentence? He fucking sings like a canary.
I bet he do.
He's like, oh, just so you know, Tim Durham, he doing dirt. So.
You want the tea? Come get a cup, okay?
So, he fucking sings like a fucking canary. From 2001 to 2006, Obsidian lost $30 million.
I'm sorry?
Obsidian, the company that was supposed to be flipping companies, lost $30 million. Okay?
Whew.
There was a bankruptcy trustee, whatever. During that time, Obsidian was borrowing money from Fair Finance, which was fucking making money.
Mm-hmm.
This fucking asshole, Tim Durham's lifestyle, was funded by the money from Fair Finance.
I bet it was.
So, he was borrowing money, taking out loans in his own name, taking out loans to his fucking friends and family members, and taking out loans to fund his passion projects. To the tune of $144
million. Ooh, 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 ooh. Woo, woo, woo. That's a lot of fucking money.
Uh-huh. So, he was basically using the company like his own personal bank. He took out loans in his name, the names of his companies, and never repaid these loans. And they're like, well, he might have meant them to be loans, but with all the money that he kept, you know, basically getting borrowing, he had to be like, I'm not ever going to be able to pay this back. Well, Fair Finance investors still have no idea what the fuck's going on with Fair Finance. Right? So this dude is basically flaunting all this money that he doesn't actually have. So the FBI gets involved. After he tells them this, they get involved. They're like, okay, we're going to subpoena the financial records from Fair Finance. They go and they see that there's all these transactions going from Ohio to Indiana, where he was living. And the accounts are all held by him and his mom, because he was, you know, giving other people money too. So they're like, okay, this looks fishy. We don't have really enough evidence to charge him with anything, so let's do some fucking digging. They get a warrant to tap his phones.
Uh-oh.
This fucking dude! The conversations that he was having with Jim Cochran of Durham Cochran, his, you know, his other fucking business partner, right? And Rick Snow is now the CFO of Fair Finance. So he hears them fucking having, the FBI hears them having all these fucking conversations, talking shit, talking about how the investors are worried that their money's being used to fund their lavish lifestyles. And, Rick Snow's like, no, you know, he's telling the people on the phone, no, you know, they're like asking, hey, are you using our money to buy your houses and stuff? And he's telling them, no, we can't do that. That's not happening.
No, no,
absolutely
not.
We're not doing that.
But they were.
Yes. The people who had the most money that invested in the company were the ones that they were talking to. Like, people who had more than $200,000 invested with Fair Finance were the ones that were, like, on the phone all the time. They were fucking concerned. They would call and ask questions, and the company, you know, the fucking CFO would just, you know, basically blow smoke up their ass. But the company was broke, and they started delaying people's interest payments. They started delaying people's withdrawals, telling them you're going to have to wait some weeks. There was a man who fucking, one of their customers who had passed away, and the family was trying to, you know, collect his money. And they were like, oh, you're going to have to wait a few weeks. And they were trying to, he was like, basically, fucking asshole. Durham's on the phone telling him to tell them, oh, yeah, you can tell an executor you're going to have to wait a few more weeks. Talking about, he was like, it's okay. I don't see a big deal about it. You know, they're not going to redeposit with us anyway, so who gives a shit?
Wow.
And fucking Cochran is on the other end of the phone going, yeah.
Giggling and giggling.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Totally right.
Fuck you guys.
So, November 2009... he's trying to raise money, trying to raise $250 million from investors. Basically trying to get in new investors. Trying to blow smoke up the current investors' asses, right? But they have to go through the Ohio Securities Office in order to do this. They get on the phone, and they're talking shit about the fucking, the guy, the whoever their point of contact is at the Ohio Security Office.
Mm-hmm.
Basically like, oh, well, you know, we can just bury him in paperwork, just give him all this paperwork and, you know, so much that it'll overwhelm him because, you know, he doesn't seem like a very smart guy anyway.
Wow.
They're like, my guess is he's not a financial genius, so let's just pile a bunch of paperwork on him so he gets overwhelmed. And they also put out a fucking commercial on TV trying to attract investors and trying to basically quell those concerns of their current investors, telling the company that they're in good shape. Meanwhile, they're also representing that they have collectible debts from companies that they don't. So there's a bunch of companies that they still have that are fucking bankrupt. These companies have no money. And they're telling them that these are good paying companies.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. They're not making any money. There's no money coming in. It's all going out because they're not doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were supposed to be collecting, you know, buying the AR from other companies. But basically, that company just started funding, Fair Finance just started funding Tim Durham. So they're not actually working to do any business.
Mm-hmm.
And his flipping company is not doing anything anyway because he now is sitting on all of these projects that are for shit. So he's not actually running businesses anymore. Yeah. Maybe he started doing that, but he didn't fucking continue doing that. So they're on the phone and they're bragging about fucking deceiving their investors.
They're fucking assholes, dude.
That's why I said he's an asshole.
It's funny to me that people think they could have like conversations over the phone about like bullshit when there's millions on millions involved and you're definitely doing something shady. Be a little more sneakier.
Oh, get this though. Okay. So at one point, him and Cochran are on the phone, and Cochran's like, you know, I know we're probably going to get sued over this. But is there any chance we're going to go to jail?
My God.
He's like, Durham's like, no, you can't go to jail for this. No. For what? For loans? You can't go to jail for loans. Yeah, you can. So on November 24th, the FBI's like, we got to stop this shit right now. So they raid Obsidian and they raid Fair Finance. I guess they spend 2 years putting their case together because on March 16th, 2011, they arrest Durham, Cochran, and Snow. They indict them, all three of them.
Jail time.
Their counts include conspiracy to commit fraud, wire fraud, and securities fraud. And their trial begins in June of 2012. So he basically made $144 million in loans to himself from Fair Finance and to his friends and his other companies. He gave his mother like $800,000 of this money.
What a cheapskate.
And on June 20th, they are found guilty. June 20th, 2012. They're found guilty. And they all get sentenced to fucking prison time.
Okay.
So Snow gets 10 years. Cochran gets 25 years. And Durham gets 50 fucking years in prison.
Shit.
And apparently that is the highest or the most amount, the most amount of time that anybody has ever gotten in the state of Indiana for a white collar crime.
Wow, because you were stealing from your fucking investors. You were stealing from people. You're just living your the vida loca off of this business, and you weren't doing anything you said you were actually doing.
Yep. His early possible release date will be February 1st, 2056. At that time, he'll be 94.
Shit. You know they let them old-ass people out on compassionate release.
If there's something wrong with them.
They make that shit up, dude. I think that's a white-collar trick. They're like, oh, just get in there. You got 50 years, just do 5. And then pretend like you have this and pretend like you have that.
Fuck you, Harvey Weinstein. You're staying in jail.
That's the white-collar shuffle.
Well, he's not convicted of a white-collar crime, though.
He's a bastard.
They seized all of his shit and tried to auction it off to get back some of the money to pay back some of the investors.
Yeah.
He had nothing. None of the shit that he had was owned. All of his fucking shit. The cars were leased and fucking, they were leased and there was some that were financed. And so he owed on them so they couldn't collect. They had to pay those cars off.
Yeah.
They couldn't even fucking, like, collect on the cars. Their, his fucking mansion was fucking needed more. It was more in debt than it was worth anything.
It's kind of in disrepair.
It was it, girl. The pictures, like there were squatters in it. Like they tried to sell it. A realtor was trying to, because this episode was 2015 from 2015. There was a realtor that was trying to show the property, and there were squatters in it.
I think squatters really have, like, Frank Gallagher, like...
mentality.
Yeah. Oh, so I've decided when you were out and you started drinking and you don't want to go home, I'm going to say you're going Gallagher.
You're funny. In the end, he basically stole $216 million from 5,400 investors. 5,400 investors lost a total of $216 million.
That's why he got that much time. That's why.
And they were all elderly people. Or the families of people who had passed.
That's fucked up.
That were expecting their money. There was one of the old guys that was interviewed. He said that he went, you know, the day that they got raided, basically the customers, you know, couldn't get into the building. There was one lady that was sitting on the ground crying. And the guy was like, oh, I'm sorry, do you need help? Like, what, are you cold? What, do you want to sit in my car? She's like, no, I'm fine. I have my car's over there, but I have no money. He took all of their fucking money. Their life savings.
That's fucked up.
All the money that anybody had to basically try to, you know, take care of their families after they passed. Or there was the lady that was a retired nun. She said, because she's a foster parent now. She said, I'm going to have to watch kids until God calls me home because I have no money. And that's the only way. Her Social Security only pays her $102 a month.
What?
So she basically has to be a foster mom till the day she dies because now she has nothing.
Because she was a nun.
She was a nun.
$102? Mm-hmm. I remember that episode of again, shameless. Frank gave him his real social. He was like, if I try and retire, how much will I get? She's like, you'll get 5 cents. A month. Get out of here. He was like, jeez. You work hard for 4 months and blah, blah, blah.
He's so stupid.
He's such a scoundrel. But that's sad. That's really sad.
Yep.
I need to do something
with my... So he's sitting in prison right now.
Good, you son of a bitch.
Rotting.
Well, I need to do something with, like, my 401k, because I don't know if I can invest yet with my company, and I don't know if we even offer that. I need to find that out.
Put it in a 301b or something.
I'm putting it in the IRA, I think.
Yeah, that one. That's the one I meant. Not a 301b.
Yeah. But I feel like I want to invest in something. But invest
in... Are you still doing Stash?
I signed up, but I never... I feel like it's difficult to get it, like, configured. Like, I'm like, I just want to... It was confusing to me, honestly. I think it should be a lot more simple than it is.
Okay.
Anyway, that's fucked up. Fuck this guy.
Yep.
Fuck you, bro.
Oh, and then they were like, he was like, well, you know, it was during the 2008, basically the real estate bubble. Mm-hmm. It was during, you know, the, when the economy was going through a bad time, the judge was like, I don't give a shit. That's not an excuse.
That's the worst time to steal somebody's money.
So, yep. It was just fucking fucked up.
What was his name again?
Tim Durham.
Tim Durham.
Mm-hmm.
What a dick.
Major dick.
Major dick. All right, so he's in jail. He's not getting out. And when he does, he's going to be 94.
Yeah, they were like, he'll probably die in prison. So, 2056 is a long way away.
It's only 2020, and this is a struggle right now. This is a struggle year.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. All right, interesting. Do you have a thumbs up for the week?
Oh, my thumbs up for the week. Let me think.
Your birthday's coming up.
That's not a thumbs up.
I got you a present, so if you don't want to celebrate your birthday,
this year is canceled.
I'll take it back, but I did get you a present.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you already got it?
Yep.
Wow, that's some forethought.
It is.
I don't know. Do you have one? We can circle back to me. You don't have one either.
No, I'm learning the industry. So, like, I'm in the insurance industry right now. Or, like, that's, like, who I'm targeting. So, I'm learning that industry. Oh, I got my first demo.
I know about insurance.
I got my first demo, so that was exciting. It's just really, like, just keep doing what you're doing, staying positive, and, like, doing the best that you can do. And being able to also articulate your needs as to what you need in, like, work, at home, and whatever. Sometimes it's hard to communicate, like, you know, what you're feeling. I've learned to communicate better.
What the hell are you talking about?
Just feelings and emotions. Like, if I'm going to be by myself at work all the time, I need to be able to tell my boss what I need.
By yourself at work?
I work by my lonesome now for a company, and it's just like, okay, well, I need to know this, I need to know that. It's new, so I'm just learning the landscape of this. Distance, remote work, situation, startup, culture.
Okay. That's your thumbs up.
Yeah. I got my first demo, and I'm being more, I'm trying to articulate more of my needs.
Mm.
And my husband bought me Chipotle on Friday. That was
nice. I want some poke. Okay, well, my thumbs up is, like, it sucks. Oh, yeah, okay, my thumbs up is that I started watching the final season of Lucifer. It's out now. It started on Friday. And so I am currently watching Lucifer. Tom Ellis is a sexy beast. Like, he really is.
He's the Lucifer,
right? He's Lucifer. And... I don't know.
I've got something that's going to make everybody happy. So, hang on. What's this called? So, there's this show that's available now on Showtime. It's called Love Fraud. Have you heard of that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so...
What the fuck?
What the fuck? The preview... I watched a preview and I was like, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. So this guy is a fucking... He's an asshole. So it's a four-part docuseries follows the search for Richard Scott Smith, who used the internet and his dubious charm to prey upon unsuspecting women looking for love. So, like, he would just date a bunch of bitches and be like, oh, I love you. Like, after a certain amount of time, he'd love them and get their money, get their 401k, and fucking rob them. So, it's...
Did he meet these women in person?
I want to watch it. It just started on Showtime today.
Oh, okay.
And so, the preview looked good. It was like, watch out, Tiger King. Here comes love fraud. Like, it's just like...
But... It's nothing. It's on Showtime.
It's on Showtime, but they're just saying, like, just for the drama and, like...
It should be on Netflix, then.
The white trash appeal, probably.
If they want a greater audience, it needs to be on fucking Netflix.
Well, I mean, Showtime's premium, and I think Showtime gets a lot of watches and free trials on
Amazon. That's what I have. I have Hulu. A free trial.
I think, I mean, like...
Through Hulu right now.
Hulu is... I'm sorry. Netflix is big. They're in a bunch of, you know, homes and everything.
But everybody has Netflix.
Everybody has access to Netflix.
Well, okay.
I think a lot of people have Showtime. I think there's a lot of people subscribe to Showtime, unbeknownst to them. And I think there's a lot of people who stream Showtime, too, or get access to it. So I think, like, it's a broad spectrum. It depends. I think, like, when you get people watching Showtime, it's worth more because it's a premium channel and they have to actually pay for this content a little bit more. Then they have to pay for Netflix. I'm sure more people see it on Netflix, but I don't think they really care. I think they just think about the dollars rather than the eyes.
Well, whatever.
I want to watch it. It's supposed to be really good.
I'm waiting for HBO Max and fucking Peacock to show up on Roku. Get your shit together, people. It's not available. It's still not available. They took off HBO Go. So now it's like, oh, well, fuck you. You want to watch HBO content?
Can you watch HBO Now?
No, HBO Now is a subscription through Roku. So you have to sign up for it and pay for it.
Right.
So if you already have a subscription...
With HBO,
like, through your provider, you can't watch it on fucking Roku.
Because that's HBO Go.
Right.
That's silly. I need to get a new streaming device for our TV downstairs. Do you have any suggestions?
You don't like Roku?
The TV downstairs doesn't have anything. Well, you're giving me all this bitching about Roku. I won't be able to watch HBO.
It's not on Amazon either. It's not on Amazon Prime either. Or, I'm sorry, Amazon Fire Stick.
I'm not watching any HBO anything. I'm not subscribed to it. I can't get to it on, like, my TV in our room because...
You said you need a device.
I want a new device for downstairs.
So, what's your question?
Any suggestions?
Either way, you're not going to be able to watch HBO fucking Max.
What if I get a different...
You can watch it on your computer.
What if I get a Chrome? A Chromecast?
I don't know anything about it. I have not seen that.
What if I get Apple TV?
Apple TV box thing. I don't know. All I know is it's not on those two. It might not be on anything because fucking they can't get their shit together and fucking, you know, negotiate a price. Just fucking pay!
Get
people, I
want to
watch some shit, and I can't, because you took it off. It's messed up. They took away my access.
I'm sorry.
Ugh. But I would do, that's how I watched American Greed on Peacock, but I had to watch it on my computer, because it's not available on Roku yet.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, let me see. I still need a thumbs up.
You said Lucifer was your thumbs up.
I know, but that's just like, I just show I like. Oh my leg.
You did your hair. It looks very pretty. You also did my hair. And I love it. That's my thumbs up.
I love it.
Fabulous hair. Hair by Brandy.
I guess. That's it. I guess that's my thumbs up. I have to.
It'll be okay.
I have to start finding things to be happy about again, so.
It's okay. It's an uphill battle. Life's a struggle. And. Gotta take it day by day, sister.
There's just so much bullshit happening. People getting fucking shot.
I know.
People dying. People, you know, doing dumb fucking shit. I'm just like, why? Why can't everybody just stop the bullshit? And then we've got that fucking as Kid Fury called him, President Goldfish, sitting up in the fucking office. So, you know, I'm tired. Like, if I could go, like, to the moon and just live on the moon, I would.
Yeah.
Like, this is a nice view. Shit.
I think I will start claiming refugee status. You know what? I'm going to just go with my husband to the Bahamas because he's a citizen. So, and I think Brindley should get, like, dual citizenship. So, you know what I'm saying? We might be making...
Remember? In a move to the Bahamas.
I can work from there now. I'm remote.
Well,
we could record over Skype or, you know, something. And still make the podcast happen.
Look, move to Costa Rica. That you can just fucking... There's no taxes.
I guess I gotta find some renters for my house. But it's all good.
You can live in a van.
Ew.
In Costa Rica.
Well, we're gonna get through this, guys. It can't last like this forever. And if it does last like this forever, we need to adapt. We just need to adapt. I don't fucking know what else to say.
Survival of the fittest.
Survival of the fittest. So, thank you guys so much for listening. Hey, if you like this episode or any of our episodes and you have not left us a review, please leave us a review. Go to Apple, leave us a review. Podchaser, Spotify, leave us a review, please, please. 5 stars, give us 5 stars, please, please. Thank you so much. And subscribe and come on back. Definitely connect with us on social, on Twitter at Book of Lies Pod, on Instagram and Facebook at Book of Lies Podcast. And you can always visit our website. I need to update that. But you can listen to all of our previous episodes on bookoflifepodcast.com. And thank you for listening. I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleek.
And this was
Book of Lies.
The podcast.
It's about bitches.
It's about bitches.